to be able to share the Word of God and be able to worship together with someone. Just invite somebody with you with us next week. It's not here with us this hour. Tonight I want to deal with the compassion of Jesus Christ, and we know that He was a very compassionate God because of what He did on Calvary's cross. And He loved people, or He wouldn't have died for people. That same compassion should be in each and every one of us if we're saved, is it not? I was fortunate to go to Mexico and really move right into the heart of Jesus Christ's compassion, because His compassion is souls and the need of souls. Did you know we have needs right here in this church? You don't have to go to far mission field. You don't have to go very far that you know that we have needs in this church. And not only that, we have needs in our families that's represented here, but we have needs in this community. There's a lot of people that's in our area that comes across our life each day that you know what is hurting, and they need help. And just as bad in some areas, they may not be hungry, they may not be cold, but you see, they have needs. Maybe it's a spiritual need, an emotional need, it might be a physical need, but there's a lot of needs. And I got asking myself, especially while I was down in Mexico, to see so much need in that area, but even the need that we have here. What am I doing along my life's way to help someone on the journey of life that they have to journey on? In other words, what are you doing, or what am I doing to help somebody on life's journey? Are there somebody that you are helping along the way? You see, it's this journey of life is not easy, is it? And the older we get, the more intense the war grows. But are there somebody that you're helping? Are there somebody that you can't help? Are there somebody that God has put on your mind? I hope God puts someone on your mind and your heart. Whether it be family, friends, or maybe somebody you never even met before, before the service is over tonight, and maybe you might just want to be an intercession prayer for someone in your family. I was, again, fortunate to see what prayer can do, especially with people that have such great faith. To pray and God moves. And you know, I can say the same God that moves on an orphanage, the same God can move in your family and my family. The same God that moved years ago, the same God that can move right now. Would you admit me tonight that there's some needs on family members and loved ones in our church? Would you admit that tonight? Would you also admit that not just here, but the people that you work with, come in contact with, you know, and friends, a lot of people is having some very difficult time. I said in areas of their life. And I know that here was a man that Jesus Christ met, and he had compassion, the compassion of Jesus Christ. This church, Pleasant Hill, built upon the belief that and the conviction that Jesus Christ is still the mighty Savior, and He still works miracles. And He still can move mountains for us. And we come to church not just to hear a message on Wednesdays or Sundays, but we come to church really to do a message. You know, it's not enough if Brother Marshall prepares a sermon and you go out the door and say, well, I enjoyed that. But if that's the end of it, we hadn't done too good a job. If it don't cause you to do the message and do the sermon, it just falls on deaf ears. But really now, why are we here? As Brother Orville said, you know, that talking about the nursing home, and maybe some of us before long, we may be in a nursing home. We don't know that. I mean, the years passing by in a hurry, would you say? They pass it in a hurry. And then maybe we might be want someone to kind of help us along life's way. But even before it gets that far, there's still a message and that each of us needs to do. And the need here, family members and friends, and I really do, people need to help, because the Bible says grace is great, but it says grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be more like Jesus Christ and have the compassion that Jesus Christ has, I think that we'd want to help someone along life's way. You know, this world we're living in, it don't mind stepping on people, does it not? See, God, Jesus Christ, didn't come down to save civilization. He come down to save man out of civilization. Civilization has never been good. It never will be because of the evils in the world. But Jesus comes to save man out of it. And he's not going to change civilization, but he wants to change man that's in civilization. And that's the compassion that Jesus Christ has as we grow. Hope that we're growing. So Jesus Christ comes to a leper. Many people that Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he had compassion on and he helped. And if we're to be what Jesus Christ would call us to be, pick up your cross and follow me, I really do believe that we'll see people as Jesus Christ saw people and is moved with compassion in Matthew chapter 9. And we need to be moved with compassion. Even some people sitting here this hour, maybe they need to be encouraged in some way. Maybe some family members, and sometimes, you know, your kids gets on your heart and they stay on your heart, and maybe you need encouragement with your family, your friends, your loved ones, your kids, your husband, your wife, your whatever it might be. But Jesus Christ, he had compassion. This man was a leper. In verses 12, 13, and 14, Luke chapter 5, it says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be there clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Again, let us pray and thank the Lord this day. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for so many things, for salvation to start with. Father, you said that salvation is like dynamite. It is, when it blows up, it blows in so many different directions. It has so much power behind that little word salvation. The salvation of forgiveness, that we know that, Father, what you died on Calvary's cross for was forgiveness and forgive mankind. And Father, one thing here this hour, that we know that we can be forgiveness if we would just ask. So we want to thank you for that dynamite of forgiveness. And Father, we want to thank you for that dynamite of the peace, Lord, that passes all understanding. It should be in our heart this hour because, Father, we are not in war with you any longer because we found peace through Jesus Christ. Father, that dynamite, Lord, of the compassion that we'd like to talk tonight about. And Father, I pray that you might open our hearts for understanding, our ears for hearing, that Father, we might understand the compassion, Lord, that you had. And Father, we need also because, Father, you're in us tonight. So we want to thank you, Lord, for this few minutes. And for these great people that's here today, Father, we're not great because of who we are, but we're great because of who's in us and the opportunity we have on this side of eternity to help life's journey of some person along the way. So we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ this hour for his precious name, and amen. John 14 and 12, Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Jesus Christ healed, gave back sight, many, many miracles that Jesus Christ done. But then on a life journey of you and I, Jesus Christ said, "Greater works you do than I do." You know, the maker of the universe of the world standing, and these words came out of his mouth to his disciples and the ones who were with him. And they echoed down through the years to a little small church here side the road. You know, it's called Pleasant Hill. And for the ears that hear the day and for this hour, Jesus Christ says, "You know the things I've done, you've been reading about them for 2,000 years and then all your life." But he says, "You know, greater things that you're able to do than me. Greater works That is, that I cannot be but in one place at one time while I'm in my body. But when I go to my Father, I'm going to send the Comforter back, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to be in each and every one of you. Instead of the morrow, me walking down the path, and Jesus Christ said, and I speak to one person, and he says, you know what? He says, you can be all over the place and speaking to many people. And that's the family of God. Many things that we can do. And the greater thing is that we can tell people about salvation, about the Savior of the world and how he loves us. But life's journey on this earth, if we could just help someone. I like that old song we sing, Brother Robert. Life evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and we must go. To meet the deeds that we have done, you know where there'll be no setting sun. The deeds that God has recalled for you and I. Some person along the way, maybe tomorrow, maybe when you help someone, God will pop somebody else's mind for you to help. It might be in a financial way. It might be in an encouraging way. It might be through prayer. It might be through visitation. There's many, many ways. It might be just, you know what, just baking a cake and carrying it to someone. It might be seeing, you know, that they need someone to go by and just have a little chat with them. A lot of our elders and our shut-ins, they're very, very lonely. Whatever God has called you to do or put on your heart, WWJD, what would Jesus Christ do? What would Jesus Christ do, because he's living in you and he's living in me now? You know, he didn't intend for us to just fly through this world and get all we can, and breathe his air, drink his water, and eat his food. But see, there it's for others. And I really do believe that's what we need to do, because this journey that we're on, if you're saved, you know that Jesus Christ lives in you. And Philippians 1 and 6 tells us, be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. We're saved to do good works. But very frankly, today, as God knows our heart, but really, are you concerned about other people? Are they someone that you really need to be helping this hour? If God put anybody on your heart and your mind, as I said, you don't have to go sometime, just pray for them. But thinking about other people in this little life that God has allowed us to live. Well, as we look at this hour, the condition we find out of the sinner, because leprosy is known as a symbol in the Bible of most of the time as a disease of sin. And he says he was full of lepers. That means he was full of leprosy. I mean, that was in the last stage. And I know a lot of you have read about leprosy, and when it's in the last stages, you know, it's whenever their fingers begin to fall off and their toes falls off and their ears and their nose, and they're just a big old pile of pain and a pile of bones is about all that's left of them. And it says he was full of leprosy. See, leprosy also begins like sin does in a small way, but then it spreads. Until people gets in a condition like this leprosy, there was no way, there was no cure. And you see, I hope you think about someone that's in a condition and there's no help except by God and you. If somebody don't step in, if some soul winner, if somebody don't step in and show some compassion and so show some care about some people, whether they are on drugs, whether they're alcoholics, or what if they just sin of a moral sin or whatever it might be, or just without Jesus Christ, and maybe they're already saved and just maybe they're so cold and indifferent, they're so far from God that they cannot hear and they don't know the presence of God in their life any longer. And maybe if it wasn't for you and for someone else to be able to talk to them, maybe they'd be like this leprosy with no hope whatsoever. So many people sin starts off and like leprosy, it's small and it spreads. You see, it's awful easy even for someone that's saved. You know, they start missing services. And, you know, you can tell a lot of people start missing services. And then after a while, they get bitter about it. And you know what? They find excuses. And then the preacher don't do right, and the people don't do right, and then they find out so many excuses they don't won't be back. But it's all because of sin. And old cancer, you know what, if it's left alone and without tree, you know what? It brings death to the body. And I tell you the same thing about sin. People needs help. And I know that I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's sorry, no good, so and so. They made their bed, let them lie on it. But you see, God never did say that. Because that person is down and out, that person is not coming, that person is not showing any relationship to Jesus Christ, is that same person that Jesus Christ died for. You're not special tonight. He just died for you. He died for the whole world. He would have died for you and did die for you, but you see, he died for the whole world. So Pleasant Hill today, there's so many today that needs help. Leprosy begins on the inside and it spreads outward, just like sin does. Well, we need help. But not only that, we find out leprosy is like sin because it isolates man from manward. Sin will do that same thing. You see, there's a lot of people that is really isolated tonight because of their sin. I just named some. They're not going to come to church. You're not going to drag them to church. They're not coming. And they have a lot of excuses for not coming. I'm going to tell you what it is. It is sin. Because sin will separate man from man. Because, see, this leper was not allowed to come to the gates of the city. He was isolated. He was isolated from his family. Did you know sin isolates you from your family? There was a mental separation of family. Kids and homes today were just one parent. You know what happened? Sin will separate you from your family. But not only that, you see, in all areas of your family, wife and husband, mother and father, sister, brother. And then see what sin will do to families. You see, like it done this leper, he was isolated, and this leprosy isolated him from his family. And, you know, I got to thinking about how that would feel because, you see, he was a very lonely person. Very lonely person. Couldn't see his children. And then it come time for celebration of the holidays. And he couldn't see his family on holidays. Isolation. Sin brings loneliness. Did you know a person is very, very lonely because of sin? So I'd like to ask you, as you think about people and you look about people, we got a lot of people that needs help. What are you doing for the cause of Jesus Christ? Sin also isolates man from God, just like this leprosy did. In Old Testament leprosy, they couldn't go to the temple for worship. They couldn't come to church. They couldn't go to the temple. Couldn't take no part of the great feast days. You know, there was three great feast days in the nation of Israel, but you see, they couldn't take part in the feast days. The great feast days was Pentecost. And also, you know, it was a Passover. But they couldn't take part in the Passover, the great time that we celebrate Easter, the great holidays. They couldn't celebrate it. They have no part of it. They could not enter in and praise God with other people. And you know what? There's a lot of people that can't come and did not come for Easter, will not come because of sin. They will not come and celebrate the great season of the Passover because of sin in their life. They don't want a part of the things of God. Sin will separate you from fellowship with God. Sin will dull their senses, seared their conscience, and no longer do they feel the presence of God upon their life. They're in miserable condition, just as this leper was. If God don't step in and someone don't intervene for them, there's going to be destruction upon their life. Where sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Again, I say, what are you doing to help someone along the way? That someone needs help, as this sinner, as this leper need help. The Old Testament, leprosy, there was no help, only a miracle from heaven. And you'll find in the Bible, very few times you'll find in the Bible leprosy was healed in the Old Testament. But people today, the same way. The downward spin of sin, there'll be no help except someone step in and they have a miracle from heaven. And you could be the one that could be the miracle from heaven. They know they're not right with God. Saved or whether lost, out of fellowship with God. They know where they ought to be. They're not a person that's ever been saved. Everybody that's saved knows they should be in the house of God, worshiping Him and praising Him and serving Him. Every person that's saved knows that. But not only that, even people that's lost knows they ought to be in a church. But they have no desire to be there. Worship service. The problem is sin. They try to put a little bit of salve on their leprosy, you know what, for treatment of the symptoms and not the problem. It may be the salve now of sometimes of church membership where they come for a little while and they fade away. It might be the salve of turning over a new leaf and I'm going to do change and make change and I'm going to do something different next year. See, to start with, this leper said he was full of this disease. He was full of disease. Also, though, he was full of devotion. In verse 12, again it says, and it came to pass when he had a certain city, a man full of leprosy, seeing Jesus, fell on his face. Because he was full of devotion. Because he knew that Jesus Christ had the power. Now, I'm talking to you here tonight because I know that God has already got someone on your mind and heart, maybe several people. And Jesus Christ, this leper knew that Jesus has the power. No matter drugs is a strong pulling force today, is it not? That's a strong pulling force today. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ has the power over drugs. He has a power over sin. He said he fell on his face. Help people on their behalf. But he was also full of discernment. He said, Lord, if thou will, you can make me clean. He knew that Jesus Christ could do it. Now there's people that's tried a lot of things. I know a lot of them may be saved, lost. I don't know, but they've tried a lot of things. They come for a little while, then they go out in the world and try to go back in their old lifestyle and try a lot of things. And they'll find out that Jesus Christ is on his way. And I'm going to tell you, you see him turn back, and you're going to see people turn back to the house of God. If we keep standing on the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, doing the Word of God, praying to the Lord and saying, you'll see people turning back. Because this world has no place to offer for a child of God or for anybody else. This world is not your friend. He knew that Jesus Christ could do that. He had the power. John, again, 14 and 12, greater things can you do than what I could do. But not only that, the compassion of the Savior, as we see, condition of the sinner, but then a compassion of Jesus Christ. Compassion of Jesus Christ, you know, it's very personal, verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him. There's someone you need to touch, come in contact with, and touch that person. It's not good enough for us to pray for everybody in this prayer box, say, Lord, help everybody in this prayer box. There will be a name, someone we call out on Wednesday night. And you just pray for the world. If God would answer it, you wouldn't know the God. But you need to put your hand on someone. Jesus was very personal. How many people are you personally coming in contact with that you intend to help them some way along this miserable life that we have to live on this earth? And the ups and downs and the bounces and the fallouts. Someone you need to put your hand on, he says. You know, he touched him saying, I will be thy clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. You see, he touched him. And you need to be touching somebody. Reach out to your family and have compassion. Another chance. Our outreach. Let it reflect somebody very personal. How long has it been since you got up off your couch and went and seen somebody? Don't you come in with this stuff, if the Spirit of God tells me to, I'll do it, because that's a bunch of whatever you want to call it. You've been called. But it's always about ourselves and not others. You know what? You got idea. You got to get in there and move in and get with them and identify with their needs. You know, it's easy for us to say right now in this church, boy, I tell you what, we really need to help people, don't we? We really need to help people, don't we? Could I hear amen from everybody in here? We really need to help people, amen? Amen? We really do, don't we? You know, that was pretty easy for you to say. That was easy. But it's another thing. Personally come in contact to that person that God intends for you to help. You see, we'd like to pack 200 shoeboxes this year or more for that Samaritan's Purse, I believe it's called, Franklin Graham. There's kids that's never received a gift like that shoebox all over the world. In that box, there will be a track about salvation in all the languages they send. You know, we intend to do that, and you know, we got a box out there under the foyer. And every week, that box should be running over about items. You see, it don't matter if you ever know that kid or not, or that child or not. But you ought to have the compassion to at least bring something to throw in that box. Maybe a child might learn about Jesus Christ on the other side of the world. As I said, I was fortunate enough to get to see the hospice ministry of people that nobody else cares about in this world, except God put this man, called him to raise up a church and to go to these people because they can't go nowhere else. I've never in my eyes seen such in my life of human beings and condition they're living in, existing in. Man, have compassion. Can you imagine how leprosy felt? The outcast? I've saw the outcast. Compassion of Jesus Christ also was very purposeful. It had a purpose in mind. Jesus said, I will. I'll do something. I will. Could you say what Jesus Christ, I will? Could they be an I will here tonight? Now, this many, we don't very many now. Could they be a I will Jesus tonight? Do you have a purpose? A reason to help someone along the way? Because his compassion was mighty powerful. Did y'all know that? Immediately the leprosy left him and he called upon Jesus. And the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And then you know the change of salvation in verse 14. And he charged him, tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priests and offer for the cleansing according to Moses' commandments for a testimony to them. Salvation will change you. Now you see, he was going to the priest. This man was being reconciled back to God. Jesus said, go to the priest. You see, you will go to church. You'd be welcomed back into the fellowship with God. You see, before he couldn't go to the temple, but now he says, go to the temple. Go to the temple. Ephesians 4 and 18 also says this, having the understanding dark, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that was in them because of the blindness of their heart, which were used at one time. Jesus Christ brings us into fellowship with God, with his relationship. Now go back to the temple. Go back and worship God. He was restored with man. He was restored with God. Go back to the temple and start worshiping. You see, he was restored back to man. Return back to his family. You see, there's a lot of people today that need to return back to their family because of sin. There was a time there again, you see, maybe it was Thanksgiving. And it had been years since this man was able to have a Thanksgiving dinner with his family. Of course, you know, I'm just using this for a figure of speech. They didn't have Thanksgiving then. But yes, can you imagine that you hadn't had Thanksgiving with your family in many years because of your sickness of sin? And that God brings you back to that loving family? Can you imagine at Christmas time, whenever it had been years since he could hug his wife and hug his kids and feel the little fingers of his grandchild on his face, and he's back with his family because of the compassion of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And it changed him in salvation. Hands in hands. You see, Jesus is passing by right now. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They need to be born again. And that's where you and I come in at. We got something we'd like to put on for just a moment. We got just a few minutes. And I'd like for you to be serious with God tonight. I'd like for you to be serious with God. As he puts on a song, and I'm not going to ask you to stand right now. I just long for you to bow your head.